Blog Talk Radio.
Black Wealth Creation Radio. I am so excited about our show tonight, man. I am just so hyped about what we're about to hear and get into. This is just an area that is exploding, and we're going to help you out with somebody that actually knows what they're talking about when it comes to social media. So excited about that. Of course, tonight's show, as always, is sponsored by www.sexybiglasses.com. If you're looking for a true income opportunity to help your business grow or help your finances grow, make sure you check out sexybiglasses.com. As always, this is Sean Hill, your host, and I am here with my wonderful, fantastic, lovely co-host, Louisa Sanderson. Louisa, how are you this evening?
Good evening, Sean. Good evening, Black Wolf Creation family. Sean, I should say good evening, stranger. You've taken a sabbatical from us this week and for the next few weeks, but I'll leave that to possible discussion and during tonight's show, which I think is appropriate. I'm doing well, though. We're into the second week of the new year. It's all in full swing, so I think that tonight's topic is going to be one that everyone who is listening, who's going to stream, who's any and anywhere is gonna want to listen to. If they're not able to participate in the call tonight, tonight's show is one that we all need to be in on.
Absolutely. You know what? And I thank you, and I thank you for what you do for this show. Our show last week, the one that we did on nonprofits, was our highest listened to show that we've had so far. So you know what, Louisa? That tells me that we're building up some momentum. People are starting to take notice. They're starting to listen in. And I tell you, I could not be happier about the direction that we're headed in. And I'm looking forward to 2015 and the direction that the show is going to go. As we say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Stay tuned. It just gets better. It gets greater.
That's
later.
Wonderful.
It is going to be fantastic. Well, like I said, I'm just so happy to be here. As Louisa mentioned, I have taken a sabbatical off of Facebook and off social media for the rest of January, and I'll be coming back in February. Had some real prayer time. I had to do some visioning, some things I have to get away. And you know what amazed me? I'm not going to take too long with this. We don't know. We can't even conceptualize how much time social media takes up in our lives. I've found I have more time to do more, to study more, to get things more in order, and I'm like, wow, I cannot believe I have this much time, and it's been wonderful. I am so enjoying it. Of course, I miss everybody. I love being on there and having my hands in so many different pies, but I'm enjoying the time to myself. My wife's enjoying it. She's getting a little more attention. So, hey, all is good. All is good with that. So, anyway, before I go into that, I want to definitely give you a little bit of update about the show. You know, of course, my name is Sean Hill. I'm the founder of BlackWealthCreation.com, the website. My wife and I work together to help women achieve financial freedom. I almost don't even like to say it, but I am the creator of the Black Wealth Creation group on Facebook, and I'm missing them. It's like when you go away from your kids, you hope they're doing good, and so I'm sure things are going well there because I left it in good hands. And so, Louisa, could you tell the audience a little bit about you?
Well, I am, of course, my name is Louisa Sanderson. I am a business consultant in the Dallas, Texas area, but I do work nationally and internationally if anybody needs me. But I am also the founder of MindYourBlackBusiness.com, and that's a website that I launched last year to bring a focus and feature and spotlight and community and resources and information for our micro and small black businesses in the community. And these are the mom and pops, the one-man bands, as I like to call them, or companies that are really, really small but still making really big impact within our community. So if anyone would like to learn more about MindYourBlackBusiness.com, the website was down for some time for some we got a facelift, but it is slowly but surely coming back up, so you can start to read some of the, and I'm happy for that because we were supposed to be down for another 2 weeks. I have a really great web designer, Be Easy Graphics, and he was really, really, I mean, just wonderful. He got it all knocked out really quickly, and I love it. But back on the proper track, if you want to learn more, just log on to www.mindyourblackbusiness.com. But when you say it with an attitude, if anybody asks you about it, because we all have attitude, and we're succeeding, and we're impacting. And you're on the website, you'll see tips, you'll see information, and then probably my favorite part of the site are the Business of the Week spotlights. And each week I spotlight a different business owner, nonprofit founder, organization founder, team, whoever, that are making really big impacts, that are, whether they are a year old or 10 years old, we're learning about the different trials and successes of different business owners and founders. If you want to be featured as one of those not Business of the Week spotlights, email submissions@mindyourblackbusiness.com. Tell us about your business, how long you've been in business, and then we will get back with you. That's it.
All right. That is a perfect segue. Louisa, did you actually say Business of the Week? Is that what you said?
I did, and it's not to be confused with the ones that we do tonight.
Well, I was just congratulating you for a perfect segue, because that went right into what I want to talk about is our Business of the Week, and her name is Amani Jackson. Amani, are you with us?
I am. Hello, how are you guys this evening?
Hi, Amani.
You are fantastic. And you are our Spotlight Business of the Week. And so I'm not going to steal any of your thunder. I want you to tell it from your perspective and what you do and what do you bring to the business spotlight.
Well, I bring everything, whatever you want, I'm bringing it. My name is Amani Jackson. I am an author, a mentor, and a speaker. And I just want to thank you guys so much for just choosing me to spotlight this evening, helping me get my message out there and my gifts to everyone, because I basically am just a servant of the people. There's so much that I realize people need, and I've decided, you know, hey, what better way than to get it out in books and get in front of people and speak and share the resources that I have or have access to and the knowledge. And so that's basically what I do.
Well, Amani, could you tell us a little bit about your book and tell us a little bit about your speaking?
Absolutely. So at this current moment, I am releasing this month a book called Legs Closed. Primarily, I work with motivational pieces. I started as a children's book writer and a poetress. But then I ventured into motivational speaking because I wanted to deliver something of substance to people instead of only something that was entertaining. And so I decided that with Legs Closed, there are a lot of young women out here, young girls, I want to say. I want to start with the young girls because I want to capture them at an age where they're still pure. You know, they still have that innocence with them. You know, I've met a lot of older women who have been broken or have been scarred by life experiences. And so I said, this had to start somewhere. Where was the root cause? And you take it back to when they're young girls before they make any of those decisions in life, and you try to get them there, you know, to protect them from those choices. And so that's what Legs Closed is really about.
Wonderful. And now, where can we find it? Well, you said it's coming out this month, so is it out yet, or is it, when will it be released?
Absolutely. It'll be released by January 30th. It's going to be on my website. That's www.amanijackson.com. And you can find all of my other books there, my events that I'll be having, book signings, any, you know, speaking engagements, anything like that. My blog is up there for people to follow. Just some daily information and inspirations, all of that great stuff. A way for people to also contact me, you know. I'm a huge proponent of people being self-employed. I just don't think corporate America is for everyone. I think it's actually for the least of us who, you know, not the least of us as far as, like, value or worth, but the greater majority of people, I think, have so many goals and talents and passions, and they get crushed, you know, when you submit to corporate America. And so I just motivate people and encourage them, you know, get out there and chase that fire that's inside of yourself and see where it leads you, because I guarantee you it will not lead you into four walls and a punch clock, you know, Monday through Friday. It won't do that. So go out there and see what life is really about, because you're not living unless you're chasing that fire.
Absolutely, Mari. Well, I think you have inspired me. I think I am going to go and write the male companion to your book called Pants Up, and that'll be the main version.
Know, that's
so we can get
right.
some our boys acting like men. And so we're gonna keep these pants up and keep these legs closed, and we're going to help them have
Please
a
do.
Beautiful future.
Yeah, get legs closed and read it. Yeah, get legs closed and read it. And I think that it'll give you a lot from a male's perspective to go off of, because someone does need to do that, you know. I'm a woman, and that's why I was able to write Legs Closed from a female perspective. Not that I couldn't sit with a guy or, you know, go through my brother's eyes, but I think that a guy should do the counterpart to it, definitely.
Well, good deal. Well, hang in. Don't go anywhere. Hang out with us, because if you're promoting your books and you're going to be out there doing what you do, there's probably going to be no greater avenue than social media for you to really get out there and really launch it. And we have a social media expert on with us tonight. So hang out as long as you can. And if you want to get back on and have something to say, definitely just let me know. Okay, just push that one out. Bring it back on.
Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you for having me, and everybody out there, enjoy your evening.
Thank you, girl. All right. Well, now it's come time for our nonprofit. You know, we highlight a nonprofit every week, and I'm going to turn it over to Louisa.
Well, Sean, this week's nonprofit of the week is someone who's actually in one of our Facebook groups, but you might not have known that since you've been gone from us for so long. Her name is Jessica Bellard, and Jessica is the founder of Women Speak, and it's an organization that empowers women in the areas of health issues. And I'm going to let Jessica tell us all about the organization and its mission and how we can get a hold of her. Jessica?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. How are you?
I am good. And I just want to thank you and Sean for having me on the call tonight as the nonprofit of the week. And I will try to sum this up as best as possible, because we're doing a lot over here in Atlanta, and this is where Women Speak originated. We're a fairly new nonprofit, just making a year old. This month. And what we do is, like you stated, we educate, motivate, and empower ladies of all ages on the importance of annual testing and knowing the signs and symptoms of health conditions that we face as women. We do monthly conference calls, newsletters. We also conduct health and wellness workshops, and we speak for various groups and organizations on these issues. We are focusing a lot more on the female conditions that's usually overlooked or, I guess for lack of a better word, that's usually downplayed. My focus is mainly endometriosis and polycystic ovarian syndrome. And we will be on a six-city tour this year for 2015. And the tour is going to begin in Washington, D.C. And we chose Washington because every year, well, actually, this is the second year that the Endo March is taking place. And it's a march for endometriosis and to raise awareness. I am the precinct manager, and I'm the lead on Team Georgia. So I'll be taking a group of ladies and men over to Washington, D.C. on March 28th of this year to march for awareness. And my story goes kind of deep. It goes back to about 12 years ago when I was diagnosed with endometriosis and some other female conditions. And I also had a sort of a, I guess, a brush with cancer myself, female-related cancer. So that is why I started the organization, basically because of my battle. And I wanted to be able to share with ladies of all ages the importance of getting your checkups and getting your breast exams and things of that nature. That's the main reason why we started this organization. But like I said, it really goes real deep because at 18, I was told by physicians that I would most likely not be able to have kids. But I thank God that God saw it differently, and he blessed me and my husband with four daughters.
Wow.
And that is my main reason for advocating and making sure that girls of all ages understand the signs and symptoms of some of these health conditions. So that is what we're going to be doing on the tour, having seminars and conferences to allow professionals as well as survivors to speak about some of these conditions and just to educate here in the U.S. And hopefully internationally in 2016. So that is, a small sum of what we do.
And Jessica, can you tell us how someone can get a hold of you or learn more about the organization?
We are on Facebook at www.facebook.com/womenspeak2015. You can also email us at women.speak@yahoo.com. And we also have a website, and that's www.womenspeak.moonfruit.com. Or you can call us at 678-763-5538.
All right, Jessica, thank you so much. That's a lot. You first of all, your organization is doing some great things, especially for our community. All too often in the Black community, we tend to avoid the doctor, we ignore the doctor, we don't have enough information about our health, and that affects us negatively so much. So it's great to see what you're doing for Black women and for all women, because health is important. Reproductive health, women's issues, that's such a large impact and issue that we're all dealing with on a daily basis. I'm pretty sure everybody who's listening or who's on the call has a woman in their life that's been impacted some way, but with some sort of women's health issue. So I thank you for being on the call and sharing your story, your very personal story, and we hope that you can stay on. If not, that would certainly understand. But tonight's show, I think, is going to be a great one, especially since you all are going to be touring. And we want to get the word out as much as possible that where you're going to be. I think I even saw Dallas on the schedule.
Yes, Dallas is on the schedule for April.
That's great. I'm definitely going to put that on my calendar. So if you plan to stay on the call, we welcome your comments. If you want to get back in and make any comments, if you'll press 1, Sean will be able to get you back in. But otherwise, thank you so much for being on and sharing your story.
Okay, thank you all also.
You know what, Louisa, as I was sitting back listening, one of the things, and I'm serious about this, one of the things I would love to see is us make that connection for Jessica's organization to get with Imani, because it sounds like they're going to be kind of preaching and teaching to the same crowd. I think that would be a great, great matchup. They call me the matchmaker, and I think that'd be great. I'd love to see them do something together. So I'm just throwing that out there.
I agree. I've already been kind of scoping out both of their websites and looking at all that they do, and you know, I stalk people too and do matchmaking. So I'll definitely be proposing that to the two of them, or reiterating that to both of them after we get off the call.
Sounds like a match made in heaven. Well, without further ado, let me bring our guest on for the night. Now, let me say this first. I've been blessed to have a co-host who's no slouch in the social media area, okay? I mean, I have one of the people that is a real giant in social media as far as knowing how to get the word out there, knowing how to promote, knowing what works and what doesn't work. And so I feel blessed to have two people of that stature on with me tonight. And so didn't want to put all the burden on you. I had to go in and find another person who is I don't know, just as savvy, smart. And what I like about this young lady, what I really enjoy, is that she comes at it with a scientific bent. She puts numbers behind the information. A lot of times when we take these courses, you know, how to – you know, blow up on Facebook and how to, you know, do this in Twitter and do it. And we all know about all these different platforms. Many times we don't know the numbers behind it. We don't know what's working, what's not working. Should I do more of it? Should I do less of it? And that's what I love. When I saw her on Google Hangouts and I saw her on YouTube, I said, you know what? This is a person that's got it going on. And I'm going to let her tell you more about her. Carmen, are you with us?
I am. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. I've got a tough act to follow with Jessica and Imani. I mean, man, I don't know if I can back them up.
Well, you know, we only bring you the best here. We search high and low, and we are about quality. We are about quality here, and you are right in that area. So tell our audience a little bit about you, your history, and just what you do.
Well, as you said, my name is Carmen. I am originally from the Kansas City area. I grew up in Topeka, Kansas, which is about an hour west of Kansas City. I went to Kansas State University on a track and field scholarship. After, you know, had a wonderful time and a wonderful career for them, I got into business and doing things. I used to work I've worked with a variety of different companies, kind of grooming myself professionally. I think my first real, you know, that real job that I had was with the FedEx Orange Bowl in Miami, Florida, and that's what brought me down to the Sunshine State for the first time, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. But since then, I've had the pleasure of, working in marketing. I am married to an active-duty Navy sailor, and so we moved to Guam after we left South Florida, and so it was there that I got the opportunity to work with Coca-Cola, Subway, Shell, and some other major brands, working for them as a media buyer while I was over there. So after we returned to the States, I did some more training, got some more experience, and kind of took that entrepreneur's leap, and I'm still building my plane as I'm going down. But I now have a company called Rojas Consulting. You can find us on the web, www.rojasconsulting.net. We are a group that specializes in marketing technology, and I am so honored to have you call me a social media expert. But I think, like you said, one of the things that makes us different is that we really do take things from, like you said, a scientific standpoint. So a lot of what we do is based in analytics and metrics and being able to actually prove scientifically what's going on with your entire marketing, your entire digital footprint.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that, you know, I love about what we're doing, Louisa and I, is we're definitely going to have you on as we go throughout the year. But what we're doing in January, we're just laying foundations now, because what we've been talking about. We talk about nonprofits. We talk about social media. It's so broad, and there's so much to dig into. We want to kind of help people get that foundation set, and then as we go out throughout the months ahead, we're going to start digging into a lot of the things. So just keep your phone on and keep your calendar open a little bit. You know, I know it's going to be pretty full, but keep it open a little bit because we will be reaching out to you to do more shows to get in depth. And so with that being said, I'm going to jump right into the show, and I'm going to go to you first. But like I said, I have my own social media expert, technologist, as you say, with Louisa. Carmen, what are some of the major mistakes that you see a lot of business owners make when it comes to social media?
You know, there are a lot of things that go on in social media, and as easy as it is, it's also easy to kind of screw yourself up. But what I find when I look at people that are doing their social media really, really well, I mean, they are just cranking out great content and, you know, have lots of followers, but there's engagement, there's really good things. There's several things that stand out to me that they're really doing well. And so I kind of summarize some of them. You can really tell when somebody has a clear understanding of what their primary business goal is or their why statement, and it really comes through and comes across in their social media very well. And I think that that's one thing that perhaps people, it can get muddled in social media, and if you're not crystal clear about what it is and why it is that you're in business, it doesn't come across well in your social media. So, and it just makes things 1,000 times easier if you really sit yourself down and go through the thought process of why am I in business? And because what will happen, you'll find, is it makes all of your other decisions easier to make. If you don't know why you're in business and someone says to you, you should be on Twitter, and you would go, you know what, they just might be right. And then somebody else will say, you should be on Instagram. You're not on Instagram. You know what, I'm not on Instagram. Maybe I should be over there. But if you know what your business, what your goal is and what your business is about and why you're in business, then you can go, you know what, I'm a B2B. I don't, you know, I need to spend more time on like a LinkedIn rather than an Instagram, where it's just not the same kind of, you know, that's not where my market is, and it's not the kind of engagement that I'm looking for. So having that clear definition of what it is that your business is about makes everything so much easier, and the downstream from it is just so much, 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 much more easier. You also need to understand how it is that your business makes money. And I sometimes get into debates with people about this because they're, you know, I want to save the world, and I call it, you know, the beauty pageant speech. You know, I'm here to save the world, and I want to uplift my community, and I want to, you know, save dolphins and all this other stuff. That's great. That really is. But if you're even nonprofits have to make money, and for-profits especially have to make money, there has to be something that's driving that revenue engine, and you need to have a very clear picture of what it is so that when you're moving into your social media, you can attach metrics, you can measure properly, and you'll get a better understanding of, is your social media actually working and helping you stay in business? I find this happens a lot with entrepreneurs, like in that very first year or so of business, that, you know, they get all excited. I want to be on Facebook. I want to get 1,000,000 likes. I'm going to go viral. I'm going to do all this great stuff. And then they have no idea how that ties to them making profits. And I guarantee you, there are tons of people. I can go on Facebook right now and find businesses that have thousands, if not millions, of followers and will still go out of business. So you have to understand how you make money and what is it that's going to keep you still in business from where you are right now to a year from now, and understand the relationship between the two. And then the third thing I find that happens really, that when people just are rocking their social media that they do, is they focus on a few key platforms and then they just master those platforms. There was a post the other day, and I'm not going to call anybody out, so don't Facebook me about it. but what is
you know I would. I'm going to do it. We made names.
Oh, Lord. There was one that this guy was saying, you know, there's the big five social media, and he named them, and he said, you know, spend 12 minutes a day, it's an hour of time, you know, and I just really disagree with that kind of a strategy because, you know, I know people, for example, I like Google Plus, and I like Facebook. So the majority, you know, there's a few others that I like, but, you know, I'm just not as big on Instagram. And for me, I understand it because of my business, but for me personally, it just doesn't click with me. So it's just not on my radar of things that I spend a whole lot of time with. That's just me, and that's just, but it works for me because if you force yourself to be on a platform where you're not comfortable, then you're it's just not going to work. It's kind of like you're forcing yourself to be in an environment where you don't really like the culture so much. So I think it's a much, much better strategy for entrepreneurs in particular to start with 2, maybe 3 at the most, and grow your following, understand the culture, really figure out how to engage and what drives your metrics and all of that kind of stuff on those platforms, and then expand out from there. If you try to be everywhere all at once, I was listening to another social media expert, and it says they're like, it's like adding too much water to your Kool-Aid, and nobody likes watery Kool-Aid. So
yeah,
I would say that, you know, those are the three things that I would definitely focus on, and that, you know, having, you know, that clear understanding of what your why is, why you're in business, how you make money, and then start with a few platforms that make sense for your business and grow from there. Don't try to be everywhere all at once.
Absolutely. Louisa, what do you say about it? What are some mistakes that you've seen business owners make?
I have two, Sean. And by the way, Carmen, excellent points. I was going to say all of them, but now I have to make something up and just pull it out of my pocket because it took all my good ideas. just kidding. But I actually have two. And you know, for me, I think Carmen and I are probably like the yin and yang of each other. She's the metrics diva, it sounds like, and she really understands the numbers and how that impacts your social media. And I think that is so great. So, Carmen, I'll be stalking you later on down the road. Sean, as you know, my bent with social media is really the whole networking and the human factor of it all. So for me, I think one, a big mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs make when they are on social media is their content. I see content that just does not belong where it has been hoot-suited or whatever platform they're using, and that's usually what's happening. They're using an automated service, and they're just dumping a post on every single social media platform that they have. And for the most part, it makes sense because, look, especially with our Facebook groups, we tend to belong to a bunch of business networking Facebook groups, so it makes sense. But then you have that one post that ends up in the, I don't know, the We Are the Children of the Moonflower group, and it's like, where, how does fishing or how does make $100 in a day belong in this group? So I think that a lot of times it's about paying attention to your audience, paying attention to the content that you're sharing with you and that you're also sharing with your audience. And then I have another one that is kind of my pet peeve when it comes to social media, and that's people not really having a plan when they're on there. You kind of get on there, and it seems like things are just turning into a social goal. We're just on here talking, and we're not really getting anything accomplished. And believe me, I like social media as much as the next person. You of all people know that. But have a plan. Know what you're going to do, because I think that's where the whole spending a lot of time and probably losing a lot of opportunities for money comes into it. People tend to get on social media, and they forget that you're on there for a reason. And, of course, we all use it to socialize. We all use it to connect with friends, loved ones. But when it comes to business, have a plan. Why are you on there? What is the engagement that you're looking for? Know what your end result is so that you know what you should be posting, who you should be engaging with. And I think Carmen made an excellent point with what social media platforms you should be using. I think if people know what their end result is, and even short term, long term, even if it's just for the day, if you know what your end result, what you want to have happen when you log off, then you can be more direct in what you do with social media, and you probably won't spend as much time on there. So that those are probably my two big ones, and I'll probably think of some more after I close my mouth. But
I agree with you on the have a plan. You know, that's probably one that I would add to my list as well, because it's so clear when people don't have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just, and maybe it's just because I'm so used to looking for that, that it's just kind of like, wow, what was the goal of posting this or saying that? Yeah, it's sometimes it really does kind of boggle the mind.
Agreed.
Wow, we're gonna go from 3 to 2 to 1. Here's my one little nugget. I'm gonna throw it out there. Hopefully, it'll be of some value to you. The one big mistake I see a lot of business owners make is confusing likes with sales, or confusing likes with actual engagement. You know, you can have people like your page. You can have 1,000 likes and 20,000 likes, but that's not gonna in and of itself convert to you being more. Having more sales. What I always equated with is somebody could be really, really popular, but really, really broke. I mean, just because I know of somebody and they're a well-known name, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're successful. Sometimes we confuse fame with fortune, and I think that's kind of what I see happening a lot. Is it's so easy to create a Facebook page and you feel like you're accomplishing something. Wow, I got my business out there. I got my Facebook page. Boy, I'm doing something. And boy, now all of a sudden all these people are liking it, and that's great and that's wonderful. But if you don't have a plan for capturing that information, engaging with people, converting those likes into sales, you're not doing anything. I always tell people a Facebook page is, to me, the equivalent of a business card. I wouldn't have a business card and just haphazardly throw them out there in the wind and say, well, I certainly hope somebody picks one of those up. I'd have to have a plan. I want to put it in somebody's hand. I want to get their information. I want to follow up with them. And that's what creates that connection. So the Facebook fan page, which is fine, and we'll talk about that a little later, because there's some things that have been changing with that. And Carmen and both you guys are both on top of that stuff. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But just that in and of itself, it seems like people – create these pages, and that's fine. But they, as you said, they don't have a plan for it. And it's just, I just want to get in this group, and if you like mine, I like yours. And we all know that I can like a page and never even go to it. I don't even have to see it. I just, it's there. I click on the like button. Whoops, you got a like. So anyway, so that's my one little caveat right there. Now, Louisa, you mentioned something that was real. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm agreeing with you, but I was going to add one other thing and I'm pretty sure Louisa would agree with me on this one. One thing that I see that entrepreneurs have this misconception that social media is the only marketing they need. That is almost always not the case. I mean, it cracks me up because I like Shark Tank, and every now and then you'll get people that come on and say, "Well, I haven't done any marketing at all, but I have a Facebook page and I have a website," and I'm like, "Well, then you're doing marketing."
Right.
But, you know, this idea that, you know, because social media is free, then that's where I'm going to get all my marketing from. And if I can just go viral on YouTube or whatever, then that's all the marketing. And I'm going to make $1 million in a year because I have social media marketing. It just doesn't happen that way. I'm sorry to burst anybody's bubble, but, you know, you hear these Hollywood stories of entrepreneurs that do it. But I can. That is the absolute rare exception. I mean, that is a fraction of the percentile of the time that actually happens that way. It's just not worth chasing that kind of a strategy that social media is the only marketing that your business will need.
That's only part of the strategy. I agree totally.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Just a piece of the puzzle, not the whole puzzle.
But
one of the things that Louisa mentioned is, and I think you mentioned it as well, is fitting your type of business to a particular platform. So, Carmen, could you tell a little bit more about how a particular business kind of figures out, or even the business owner figures out, what platform would be better for them?
Well, I think that there is there's the phrase, you know, fish where the fish are, and mm-hmm. you really do have to know your customers and know where they're at. But I like to take it a little bit further and say you need to fish where the fish are biting your kind of bait. Because fish don't bite just because there's a hook in the water. So that's a bit of an extended analogy.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I hear people all the time, you know, and they'll talk about, again, I don't mean to pick on Facebook, but they'll say, you know, Facebook has, what is it now, like every fifth person on earth has a Facebook page or something like that. It's this mm-hmm. unbelievable statistic about how many people are on Facebook. But if you're, for example, selling, I don't know, computer technology, yeah, your customers are on Facebook, but are they going to buy because of what they saw from you on Facebook? Probably not. They're really more in that mm-hmm. mindset to make a purchase decision on like a LinkedIn or, you know, there's you really do have to kind of think, put yourself in your customer's shoes and not, it's not just where they are, but where are they when they're in the right decision, you know, process to actually do the thing that makes you money. You know, and that doesn't mean don't be on Facebook, but it means, you know, kind of have a different strategy for it. And I definitely think that this is a great place where metrics and analytics comes into play. I'm a huge fan of Google Analytics. I've played with a lot of different ones, site catalyst metrics, you know, a ton of different ones. But for most entrepreneurs that, you know, particularly if you're a solopreneur or you're just getting started, Google Analytics is a great place to start. If anybody needs help, message me and I'll be more than happy to help you get it set up. But the neat thing I like about Google Analytics is it will tell you what social medias are feeding back to your website. So the ultimate goal of your social media is to kind of push people to make a purchase or to do that thing which makes you profitable. And Google Analytics lets you see that. So very clearly you can see if I'm posting on three or four different platforms, which one is actually converting traffic back to my website. That's really the best way to find out what's working. I mean, and you can always look at where am I getting the best kind of engagement. But, you know, even still, I know people who have left, you know, pages on different platforms and people talk all day, but they never make a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it the best way to figure that out is to really use some good metrics and to do some experimenting, and particularly when you're early in your stages, when you're early in the business process, you can afford to experiment because you don't have that many people watching you. If you try something a little off the wall, it's okay because there's only going to be about five people that notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And social media moves so fast. I mean, I think they were saying now that your posts on Twitter are only there for like 5 seconds. And then, you know, most people, because of how many followers they have, it's off the screen in their feed so quickly. So don't be afraid to try something. Just have some analytics and some common sense and, you know, measure what your result is. And then that'll tell you pretty quickly what platform you need to be on.
Absolutely. Louisa, when you're consulting with your clients, how do you help them gauge what platform is really going to be best for them?
I'd have to say, well, part of it is the business. It's what they're doing. And then, of course, it's the plan, Sean. It goes back, what are they trying to accomplish, you know? And then it's also, like Carmen mentioned earlier, if you just don't like Instagram, you're not going to do good on Instagram, no matter how much we try to make you be good on Instagram. So we try to look at it from those perspectives, what type of business they have, what their end result is, and what they actually are just naturally drawn to. And I know for a lot of people, some social media is just out the door. They don't want to be bothered with it. So it's about finding the one that they can at least tolerate, or the one that they can grow to love, so to speak. I think, and when it comes to business, one thing that I'd like to add to when it comes to the different social media platforms, you have to know what type of people are also on those social media platforms. You know, those who are on Pinterest are different from those who are on Instagram, even though both of those are very visual. You have to understand the differences between people who are mm-hmm. pinning, between those who are on posting on Instagram. And then the same thing goes for Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, and any of the other tons of social media platforms that are out there, if you understand the type of audience that's on there, then, and this goes back to Carmen's statement of going where the fish are biting your bait. If you understand that audience and how and if they can actually, they are actually the proper, the correct audience for you, then you can probably narrow down the amount of work you need to spend on social media, you know, make a great impact in just a few areas. Me, personally, I do tend to jump around on social media. I try to maximize certain areas for a certain period of time. I don't typically live on Facebook. I don't live on Twitter, but I do maximize certain areas and certain platforms depending on what I'm trying to do. And for me, it has actually worked. If I'm trying to maximize professional relationships, or I'm looking to grow those relationships or interact with people, then I go to LinkedIn. It just depends on what my goal is professionally, as a business owner, or even if I'm helping my clients out.
I agree. And I remember when I went to graduate school, I put myself through graduate school as a personal trainer. And I used to get people that ask me all the time, what's the best exercise for me to do? And I would say, whichever one you like. Whichever one you like.
Yeah.
Start with that one, you know, and they would go, really? Well, I heard that, you know, spinning is better than step aerobics. And I'm like, yeah, but do you like to spin? No. Well, then why would you put yourself through that? And it's the same thing with social media. You know, I try not to necessarily badmouth any one of them, but I think people kind of naturally gravitate towards one or two of them, you know. And if you really like Instagram, you might, you know, find that you like Pinterest too, and those might be the two, because you tend to like, you know, there's psycho research and all of that about people who like visual things and communicate better. Great. But I'm a verbal person, so I really love, like, Google+, because I can just go to town verbally. You know, and same thing with, you know, with LinkedIn limits you a little bit. I had to struggle a little with Twitter because, you know, that 140 characters is kicking my butt. it took me a while to get used to that platform, but I figured it out. But, you know, I would definitely say, you know, if you're trying to figure out where should I start where you're comfortable and then build from there.
You know what, absolutely. That's the key. I love that analogy, because that's, you know, that's what I tell a lot of people as well, not just with social media, but in exercises, because, of course, it's the beginning of the year, and we're watching, you know, infomercials on TV, how I can, you know, lose 20 pounds with 10 minutes of the Turbo Blaster and this, that, and the other. And look, you know, the whole thing about that is, like you said, if that's not something that you like, if that's not something that you want to do or like to do, you're not going to stay with it. It's just going to become a clothes hanger, and it's just going to sit there. Same thing with social media. If it's something that you're really not comfortable with, or, and all of us, when we begin, we have a comfort level with one thing more than the next. But if you're not really, like Instagram, my wife is on it. I created a profile on it. I have no idea how to use that. I have no idea. Somebody just told me to get on it. I created a profile and I have followers. And so I'm like, why are they following me? I'm posting one picture. But I'm there because somebody told me to be there. And so it's not comfortable with me. It's not something I enjoy. I enjoy Facebook because I get to say more and I get to talk a lot. And so I'm very verbal. I won't say I never did, but Twitter wouldn't work for me. I need about 4 or 5 hashtags, and 140 just wouldn't do it. Wouldn't get it. I'd blow that out the water because I'm typing, so that wouldn't do it. But yeah, so get with something that where your people are, that you enjoy, but that doesn't distract you. What happens sometimes is what we call social media marketing. We're really social media kind of visiting. And a lot of time, people will spend a lot of time on social media, and you ask them, well, what have you been doing all day? Oh, I've been marketing. No, you haven't. You've been talking about Ferguson, and you've been talking about who's going to be in the Super Bowl, and that's still kind of such a thing. So I'm going to move on from that. but, you know, it's marketing. It's a business. I always try to encourage people. If you wouldn't do it at your 9-to-5, if you, and even if you don't have a 9, if you wouldn't do it there, don't do it over here. So this is not an opportunity. Oh, I can get on Facebook and I can kind of market, but I can also socialize. If you wouldn't do that with your job, and that's, you know, and that's where you get your paycheck, don't do it with your business. Hey, have a time, set aside a time to work your business, be focused, be business-minded, but also set aside a time to enjoy it, but that's not going to be the same time. So anyway, well, we got the technologists, the marketing technologists online, and you already mentioned one of the metrics, or at least one of the tools that is really, really good to measure the metrics that, what I call the metrics that matter. What are some other metrics or tools that a business owner can use to kind of pinpoint how he's doing with social media?
I'm sorry.
I'm going to Carmen.
Okay.
I'm going to Carmen and I'll come back to Louisa.
You know, like I mentioned, Google Analytics is by far my favorite. But most of the platforms nowadays have some kind of measuring system that's built in. You know, even with Facebook, if you click around, you know, you can find where they've got the metrics of your posts and things like that. But I'm pretty sure that only happens if you have a business page. So if you're trying to sneak one past people on running a personal Facebook page as a business page, you're not going to see those metrics and analytics. But if you know, that's part of the reason why you just put your business on a business page. But that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, the built-in analytics that the social media platforms have is a great place to start. I don't at all think that they're lying to you, but I think that they have an interest in keeping you there. So they're going to do, you know, I often find that the platforms tend to display more of what I call, you know, what is termed vanity metrics. They'll tell you how many people have visited that post and all of that fun stuff, which at the end of the day has absolutely nothing to do with you reaching your business goals. But it is a good point. It is a good place to kind of start looking. It's just don't sell the farm based on what you find on the Facebook metrics. So using Google Analytics is great. If you're, you know, Hootsuite and some of the other ones, the platforms out there, the posting platforms also have their metrics, but I'm pretty sure with Hootsuite you have to buy a pro account in order to get the analytics. And we use Hootsuite, but it's really more because we like the dashboard there that allows us to track everybody. And, you know, for all of my clients, you know, we have their own dashboard set up, and so I know, you know, I'm not just following the post of my client, but I'm following my client's competition. I'm following my client's ideal customer profile. I'm following all of this, and I can see it across one platform. And that's what I think the true benefit to Hootsuite is. I mean, yeah, it lets you post in a somewhat organized way, and if that's helpful to you, okay. But they have built-in metrics there as well. And there are a lot of third-party apps out there. I know Twitter has, there's like Twitter Count or something like that. Google Plus has several, there's a lot of the third-party apps out there. So the important thing is that you know what you're measuring and why you're measuring it, and really try to stay away from, those vanity metrics. And that's a term I kind of borrow it from Eric Ries and the Lean Startup, which for any entrepreneur is a fantastic book to read. It's not a long read. It's not boring, but it's a great, great read. And it really does explain what are vanity metrics. And those are those things like hits and, you know, views and that really have nothing to do with how well your business is performing. And they also tend to, you know, show a correlation and not a causation as to what's happening. And that happens a lot with social media. So you want to be watching for those actionable metrics. You know, and those are the things, you know, like you said, measure what matters. You want to see those things that you have determined actually bring you closer to your business goal, and that's what you want to measure. So it really doesn't matter if you use Google Analytics or Site Catalyst or, you know, any other platform to do it, as long as you're measuring the right thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you have your one-on-ones with your clients, what type of metrics are you looking at?
Well, Sean, it really just depends on the client, you know, because each client has a different business. They have different goals. They have a different target market. So it really depends on the client and what their what their strategy is and what they're trying to accomplish at the end of the day. I do have to just interject. Carmen made a comment about the vanity metrics, and I find it so funny. Just as a personal story, with my page for Mind Your Black Business, 95% of my posts are doing better than 95% of my posts. So I'm trying to figure out which posts are actually doing any good and are doing better than any. You know, if all of the posts are doing better than 95%, then what do I need to be looking at? And that just to kind of piggyback off of it, that when it comes down to it, in a lot of these platforms, it is about the sale for them, because they're trying to get you to advertise and spend advertising dollars with them, and they don't want you to just park on Facebook, for instance, and use their platform and not pay the admission if they can get you to pay that admission. So, but as Carmen stated, it's really about what your end goals are. What are you trying to accomplish? For me, just to use myself as another personal example, I have lately been on the hits, and even though I know that is a vanity thing, the hits have been something that I'm using in a part of my strategic goals and my mission for the website, so that helps out. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I also look at, okay, if I have those hits, what am I going to do how can I convert those hits? So even if you're looking for simple metrics, what are you going to do with it once you've achieved it? How is it going to benefit whatever your company is, whatever your goals are? So I think whether you're looking for demographics, whether you're looking for website hits or social media hits, know what you're going to do with that information at the end of the day.
I read an article, and if I could find the link, I'll post it, about there's a really great company called HubSpot. Those of us in the industry have, mm-hmm. I'm sure, familiar mm-hmm. with it. Mm-hmm. But any of you entrepreneurs that are looking for, like, white papers on how to do things, they have great editorial calendars and checklists, and they're fantastic about that. So you got to give them a little information, and they'll probably call you, but it's worth it to get their information. But there was an article about them, because several years ago they put out that they came up with their own metric, and they called it CHI. And what it was the Customer Happiness Index. And what they figured out was, what things were the customers doing right before they canceled their HubSpot account? So they were able to analyze and develop a system for recognizing who was likely to drop off, and kind of at what stage were they in the process. And then they tracked that. And it's amazing that you can literally, because for them, retention was the number one thing for their business. So if I can accurately predict when you're going to fall off, then, hey, that's great. That significantly impacts the bottom line for that company. So I use it as an example that, even if it's not, an obvious metric, like, bounce rates or, click-throughs and all of that fun stuff, you can kind of create your own metric if you understand the customer buying decision process that your customers are taking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's solid goal right now. And you know what, I kind of took a little hit when you said about Hootsuite, because all I use it for is the post. So I'm going to move forward with that. I'm going to move on. I'm one of those low, low, low level users that just knows how to log on. It does a little posting, so they acclimate all my posts, and they look nice and neat. But anyway, we're going to move forward with that nevertheless. Before I get into a little bit about, kind of creating a social media strategy, Facebook is kind of one of the, one of the big ones, obviously. It's the big one. Recently, they've done some changes to how their fan pages behave and what happens with those. Carmen, could you talk a little bit about that and what's going on with that?
I think I'm going to avoid getting on a soapbox about Facebook. And please, it's not that I don't like Facebook. My honest opinion about what happened at Facebook was those guys didn't understand the gold mine that they had when they came up with that idea. When you think about it, it was just supposed to be a way for college kids to communicate inside of one campus. And within about, less than a decade, they got to the point where it was a global phenomenon that had the likes of which have never been seen in modern history, period. And it happened very, very quickly to, you know, Mark Zuckerberg. You can call him a genius, you know, but he was an early stage business owner. You know, it was at Stanford, I think. But, you know, again, he was an entrepreneur that kind of, I'm not going to say he stumbled into it, but he didn't know what he had. Obviously,
right.
Because if he did, he would have charged a lot more for it.
Okay?
And so what's happened is since, you know, now that they have seen the potential profit, you know, profitability and whatnot of Facebook, and they've had their IPO, which, you know, was kind of mixed in the beginning and from what I've seen is now ticking in the right direction, they've had to figure out, okay, now how are we going to make money on this thing? And so, you know, the changes that you're seeing to fan pages and business pages and whatnot, I in my opinion, and Louisa, you can feel free to chime in, are a direct result of that, that they've had to figure out some kind of a revenue strategy. And any entrepreneur, your revenue strategy will change the minute you do an IPO, well, actually probably a little bit before you do an IPO. You know, what drives your sales and how you make money, largely once you get a public offering and you have shareholders, it totally changes the ballgame. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Louisa, what do you think about, you know, the changes that have happened? Can you talk a little bit about what exactly they are?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
that for me or for Carmen? Go ahead, Louisa. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I talked for a minute. Well, you know, I have to be honest. When I learned about the changes, I was like, oh, who cares?
I think, and I know some of it is about the engagement, and it's not wanting business pages and fan pages to get too commercially and with their interaction and their interaction with their those who have liked their pages. It's basically to keep us with those pages from having that free advertising. So I think Facebook is trying to limit our engagement if it bends too much towards advertising as opposed to engaging. And I don't have a problem with that, quite honestly, because to me, from the aspect of social media, when you're building an audience, when you're trying to build a following, when you're trying to build a community, John, you know that's a really big word for me, when you're trying to build your network, you should be engaging much more than you should be advertising. And that just kind of goes back to Carmen's point of social media being business owners' only form of advertising and marketing, that social media should just be a small part of it. And it's called social for a reason. And this is your opportunity to engage with your followers, your customers, your consumers, your supporters, whoever, and to find out what are they like, what are they liking, what are they not liking, what are they into. You know, this is your chance to kind of have that roundtable with them in the virtual world. So if you're spending your advertising dollars or spending your advertising time on social media, hoping to advertise for free or for very inexpensively, It's not going to work. And then with Facebook, it's really not going to work because now they're monitoring the type of posts that pages are posting, and they're making sure that those advertising or those posts that seem a little bit too salesy are getting pushed to the bottom. So
I don't think
a problem with it. Go ahead.
Me either, to be honest with you. And because I think people, business owners in particular, forget that Facebook was not created to be an advertising platform. That I'm aware of, there's not a social media platform, you know, somebody that said, you know what, I'm going to create a social media platform and provide free advertisement to businesses, and that's what my platform is. And it wouldn't make any sense because nobody would come to see that. Nobody wants to sit and watch an endless stream of billboards. I mean, it just would not draw people, so it just would totally not work. So, you know, Facebook claims that a lot of the changes came from customer feedback, that people got tired of seeing so many spammy ads and stuff like that running all over the place. You can believe it if you want. It's probably true. But, you know, I think, you know, if people think about it, at the end of the day, you are a consumer. I'm a typical consumer. I'm married, have two children, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I can think of, you know, how many, when I go to my Facebook page, for example, I really don't want to see diaper ads and Campbell's soup and, you know, milk and, you know, car ads. Even though I'm a consumer of those things, I don't really want to see that. I want to see, you know, pictures from my high, you know, people I went to high school with, or, you know, what my relatives are doing, or maybe whatever the news of the moment is, you know, different things about social events and social causes that I'm interested in. That's what I care to see. So if people remember that, then I think that it kind of puts their social media strategy into perspective, that your content is competing against, you know, my new nephew who's about 3 months old and his pictures. That's what I want to see. I may not want to see your ad for fingernail polish, even though I do buy fingernail polish.
And you know, another thing is, unless somebody's actually clicked on the button, you know, after they like your page, nothing from your page appears in my news feed unless I've actually clicked on that button and further subscribed to it. So
you have to engage with it.
You have to actively engage with that page or have subscribed to their post so that it even shows up. Like Sean said earlier, I can like 100 pages, and I have, because I don't mind. You need a like, sure, I'll like it. I'll like it with my page. I'll like it with my account. I'll like it with it. I'll like it with everybody with any control that I have, because it doesn't matter. Well, unless I actively subscribe, and very few people do, because they don't want a lot of that showing up. Unless your page is very contorted about the engagement with their audience, unless your page has shown that you are about your likers, your subscribers, your consumers, unless you show that it's not all about you, most people really don't care past that like. They might come to your page every so often if they hear that you're running a contest, but you have to go to the Facebook page.
Right. I mean, I think one of the clients that we had, the toughest challenge was building a social media strategy that was sustainable and worked was for a guy that was an independent insurance salesman. And the guy he's a nice guy, you know, in case he might be listening, but I kind of doubt it. He's an awesome guy. He's fun to talk to, but he's kind of what I call a social media hermit. Like, he really doesn't want that, you know, be the one that's on posting. So his personality doesn't come through. I mean, we were writing content for him, so, you know, it was coming through us. But it's just like, you know, unless you have, like, you know, one of the cool Camel commercials or, you know, the Allstate guy, you know, it's really hard. You know, it's just, it's not sexy. People don't want to follow insurance companies. You know, I mean, and again, it speaks to what Louisa was saying. It just doesn't, I don't want to see that in my feed. I mean, why? I really don't. And so, I mean, we did figure out a strategy for him, and I'm happy with the results that we're getting, but it took a lot longer, and it took us being, you know, really much more creative with what we were doing in order to get that to work.
You know, and the only thing I would say, encourage our listeners to do is, you know, we gave you a little taste here tonight, but do your homework, study it, figure out, find out what it's all about. You wouldn't go and, at least I hope you wouldn't, go and blow thousands of dollars on a TV commercial and not know, you know, anything about TV commercials. Oh, I can just buy that spot for this amount of money, so I'm just going to do it, and I'm just going to throw something up there and hope enough people see it. And hopefully you wouldn't have that mindset. I think a lot of times, because, once again, Facebook is so easy, and it's so easy to do this, and I can just click a button, and, oh, my gosh, there's $20 gone. Oh, wow, that was easy. And it's so easy to get drawn in that people just, and I won't say willingly give money away, but it doesn't get the bang for the buck that it should if you understand it. Same thing with radio or any type of advertisement, and understand that's what it is. If you're putting ads out there, and that's what you're going to have to do, you're not going to be, as we said before, you're not just going to start posting stuff on your fan page and people are just going to start flocking to it, because a lot of your reach is going to be limited unless you're coming out your pocket to pay for it. So it, that organic, that natural thing, unless you built that audience and they're engaging, and as we said, they've not just liked your button, but they've also said, hey, I want to get notifications. Unless that's happening, that organic reach is going to be limited. And because Facebook is a business, so, hey, look, all of a sudden, hey, we want to make money too, so I can't blame them for that. All right. Carmen, about to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. You have spent so much time with us. I'm so grateful. And we promise if you like us a little bit, we're going to have you back and we're going to talk about a whole lot more. So just like I said, keep your calendar open just a few nights. But when you're consulting with your clients, how do you go about creating a marketing strategy for? And can you tell maybe a little bit about what an ordinary person, maybe they don't have the ability to kind of go to you, or they're just getting started. What can we do as just regular normal people to create a marketing, a social media strategy?
Well, it really does depend, on who the client is and kind of what stage in their business they're in. The strategy is going to differ significantly for a B2B versus a B2C versus somebody who's brand new and doesn't have a following versus someone who's built up some kind of a brand and a reputation and whatnot. So I guess probably the first step would be to understand kind of where you are, you definitely have to know your business and know your industry inside and out. I see a lot of people that hop on social media or not even that, but they start a business because they like what the product is, but they really don't understand the industry and how it works. I drink coffee, but I don't have a clue how the beans get ground and how I can make a better margin off of, if I should go direct to the farmer. I don't know any of that stuff, even though I like to drink coffee. So, you need to know your business and know your industry inside and out. That's the absolute first step of anything you're going to do, but especially, and it trickles down to social media and also knowing your customers. One thing I think is really important, and I'm sorry, I'm going to try to talk fast. I know you're running out of time, but understand.
No, we're okay. We got time.
Okay.
I want you to call us now. Okay.
Who are your users and who are your customers? And I have a new lady that we're working with, and the product that she sells the service she provides is for universities. We really had to kind of get to the point where we were all on the same page that the service would benefit the student, but the person who's signing on the dotted line for your check is like a provost or a dean or something. So that really creates a different kind of a marketing message and understanding that the person who buys your product may not be the same person that uses your product, and understanding the difference between that and understanding both of those people and the needs that they have. Understanding the customer decision-making process that your customer goes down. Just because you have an awesome product does not mean that your customer, your ideal customer, will buy it from you. If you can't speak to their problems and walk them down the decision-making process in a way that's beneficial to you at the very end. And then, again, the Lean Startup teaches build, measure, learn, and we test, refine, test again. So even in your social media, put a post out. If you think it speaks to your brand and you want to see if people are actually going to convert to your website, put it out there. See what happens. If it didn't work, if you didn't get anybody that clicked to your site, put something else out different the next day. Keep going and don't give up, but monitor and pay attention to what's happening so that you actually find out what works. And then once you find out what works, don't be satisfied with that. Social media and marketing moves way too fast for you to sit still. I put a blog out the other day, and one of the things I posted in there was that marketing, it's one of those things that if it's sitting still, it's going stale. That's mm-hmm. not good. The only way marketing gets good is for you to continually keep moving and continually improve on it. So keep testing, keep refining, and find a strategy that works out best for you. Like I said before, I would recommend for most people that are starting out, start with the platform you're most comfortable with and maybe one or two more, and really just get that down pat, and then you can start branching out from there. Obviously, you want to make sure you understand the culture of it. Google Plus, for example, has a very different culture than, say, like a Twitter or Facebook. you know, knowing what will irritate people and what the expectations are of the users that are already on that platform will make a world of difference in your ultimate success with that platform. But, you know, it just goes from there. I think using things like editorial calendars can, you know, for people that are busy, because I'm one of those people, I admit it. If you send me a message on Facebook and it tells me to click into YouTube, I'm probably going to go stay on YouTube and go search around and look at videos. It's kind of like, you know, the shiny object that just comes through and it's like, hey, what's that over there? Next thing you know, I'm going down memory lane looking at old Whitney Houston videos. Because, I mean, that's just, I mean, and you know, and I have to kind of stop myself a lot of the time from doing that. But I really do think that it takes some time, and you really do get some help. If being strategic and being able to plan things, not everybody has that brain mental set of being able to plan things out and to forecast and do all of those types of things. And if that's not your thing, that's really okay, but it would better serve you to find somebody that can, so that you two can work together. And, you know, if you can't afford to hire somebody, you could always work out a trade, because odds are that person might have the opposite weakness that you have as a gift. So, you know, find somebody that can help you do that. There are some really neat, I'll have to post the link. If you're familiar with the business model canvas, I've seen it adapted for marketing. So if you can spatially kind of plan out your marketing into this system, it's a little bit easier for people who don't like the strategic, you know, month one, quarter two, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of, you know, it just would really depend more on the business and all of that other stuff I mentioned before to be more specific than that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned something that I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, I don't understand what you just said. Explain a little, what is an editorial calendar? What is that?
Your editorial calendar is it's literally a calendar, but it tells you what you're going to post about every day. So, for example, it allows you to kind of sync up your marketing with your sales and your business strategy. So, for example, I believe one of the ladies was talking about, she has a book that's coming out. So if she knows, mm-hmm. you know, when the book, what the release date is, then you kind of work yourself backwards and you can say, okay, from by this date, you know, I want to have, you know, I need to be talking about this thing, or in this month, I really think I want to start getting people to pre-order my book, so my message needs to be about that, you know, and all of that. So you set it up in advance. So literally what you do is you can, if you've handwritten it or printed it, which I often find is helpful to print it out, mm-hmm. you can literally open it up every day and say, okay, today on Facebook, this is what my post is going to be about. On Twitter, this is what I'm going to post about. On LinkedIn, this is what I'm going to do. And it saves you so much time, because you don't have to sit there and go, No, I said that yesterday. And what did I say last week that went well? I mean, it really does make things a lot easier. You can build them in Excel. They have, I think you can use Asana. I've seen people use Evernote. You can download them from, like I said, HubSpot has some. You can find, if you just Google editorial calendar, or, you know, even, you know, download editorial calendar, you will find a ton of them.
Wonderful. I feel smarter already. All right. All right.
Do you guys use them, Louisa?
I do. I do use an editorial calendar. Mm-hmm. I have to, because with the website, you know, I have to make sure mm-hmm. that whatever we're covering, be it a certain subject during the month, be it a certain topic or guest that I plan on or interviews that I plan on doing, I try to make sure that everything is cohesive and it makes sense, and we're not talking about grapes and triangles and the number two and green beans all in the same month, as opposed to things that are going to make sense and they go with one another. And also, Sean, since you are a Hootsuite person, I am too. I'll admit it. But with an editorial calendar, even if you do something just as easy as an Excel spreadsheet, you can upload uh-huh. that to Hootsuite, and then mm-hmm. if you know it, you don't have to worry about posting. You can just upload your editorial calendar via the Excel spreadsheet, and you could be set for the next 30 days on Hootsuite.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm getting smart about the minute. I'm getting smart. By the time I finish hanging out with you two, I'm going to be a genius.
Yeah, I think you have to have the pro plan to be able to do a bulk upload in the Hootsuite is what it's called.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is highly useful. And here's a tip that I like, because we use Hootsuite too, so hey, we're all in the same boat together. I like kind of that 80-20 rule with social media. I find that mix actually works, and that's 80% is about, you know, it's branding things, it's, you know, telling people, you know, sharing content, that kind of stuff, and then maybe 20% of what I post is about, you know, follow me, buy something from me, whatever. And so I use Hootsuite to do that pre-ordered stuff, like the things that I know are not going to change, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If I'm going to, you know, mm-hmm. I have like my blog schedule and I know when a blog is going to come out, and some of the old ones that I want to use is evergreen content, and I can pre-schedule those. And then if something cool comes up that I want to share, then that's just like, you know, a little bit of seasoning to add into the mix already. And that's how you keep it fresh, but you just don't let it become overwhelming. Because if you sit down every day and think, oh, I got to come up with 8 posts today and I got to write all 8 of these pieces, it can get overwhelming quickly if you have to do that every single day. But if all you got to do is add a few, and they can be hot topic type stuff, then that's how you keep it fresh and make it much easier to manage.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Louisa, we're about to run out of time. Well, we got time, so I don't want to rush you. But when you're sitting down with your clients, how do you help them develop their social media marketing strategy?
Well, you know, I'm all about the human touch part of it. That's why I said Carmen and I would probably mm-hmm. be like just totally dangerous. But so I try to establish a plan that is going to evoke or encourage them to have that human touch and to really engage and mm-hmm. to interact with their followers or those who are liking them or what have you. To me, I'm truly about the networking. So it is about identifying where can you have the intimate conversations as opposed to where can you have the pass-through conversations, and then figuring out how can we capitalize on both of those and still create those networks and those relationships that are engaging and that are building trust with your customers and followers and what have you, and getting them to the point of your call to action, whether it's going to the website or purchasing a product or ordering something. So I really look at it more from maybe a holistic, I guess, if that's appropriate, but and getting them to not just use the Hootsuite and post 10,000 things in one day, but you didn't go back and engage. So I try to figure out what is the best strategy so that they are being consistent with their content, but they're also being consistent with their relationship building. And then which platforms are the best ones for them? Carmen mentioned her client who's the insurance salesman, and I would assume that if he's on Twitter, that's all of her consulting firm that's probably doing all of his tweeting. Just because when somebody is when they're that social media wallflower, when you're looking at Twitter, you know that's like going to the party and being the life of the party. So, you want to make sure that you are you're pairing yourself with the platforms that work best with your goals as well as your personality. So that's really how I approach it, and then. As far as the metrics part, I do look at that, but I usually end up bringing somebody else in who can really spell out the metrics form. So, Carmen, I'll be contacting you.
Sounds
there
fantastic.
You go. I tell you, we
Sounds
are putting
awesome.
People together tonight. This is happening, man. This is happening. I love it. I love it. As my man used to say, I love it when a plan comes together. And so that is wonderful that we have people getting together and business happening and making it happen. Wow. Well, we are coming up against the hour, at least 8:30. So I've taken far too much of Carmen's time, and I appreciate all the time that she's been with us and shared the great knowledge, laid that foundation. And we're going to build on that foundation as we go into this year, because our goal here is to help you make money. And at the end of the day, no matter what platform you're on, if you're in business, as Carmen said and as Louise has so eloquently said all the time that we're on here, is you're in business to make a profit and to be sustainable. And so to do that, social media is an important part of your marketing strategy, but it's only one piece. And we're going to delve into a little bit, you know, in more detail how to exactly make that happen. But we want to give you a good, firm foundation for you to move forward on. Carmen, can you tell us what's going on with you and how we can get in touch with you?
You know, we've always got fun stuff going on. I would definitely tell people, visit the website, www.rojasconsulting.net. We are on all of the social media platforms. I'm almost always on Google Plus and or Facebook and or Twitter. Those are my three favorites. So if you need me, you know, that's a great way to reach me. I also answer email and have my phone number listed on the website, so that's the best way. You know, right now at the start of the new year, we're working a lot with people who are building that strategy. We put a blog out just about 2 weeks ago letting people know, if you forgot or if you're just not quite done with your social media or your marketing strategy, it's okay. It's all right. It's more important to keep going through the process than it is exactly when it gets done. So if you need some help finishing up that strategy, give me a call. I'd be more than happy to work with you to get that done. We're also working on website optimization. So if you've got a good-looking website, or you think you do, and you want, but it's not converting the same way, people are not getting to the sales page, and your sales just don't seem to back up this wonderful website that you think you have, you know, let me know. And I'd be more than happy to take a look at it and see what we can do to help you out.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on here. I am just absolutely so blessed, and just to have a platform where I can come and share the thing that I'm the most passionate about. And I appreciate you guys letting me come on and share with your audience.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. Like I said, my heart and also Louise's heart is to only bring quality to this program and only to bring quality to our listeners. So whenever I'm on Facebook or wherever I'm at, and I see somebody that's putting out value and not just posting and putting out what I call look at me advertising, I always try to reach out to those people, because they are the ones that when you actually have to do business, they're going to be the ones that's going to actually deliver, as opposed to ones that just want to sell you something. So, wow. Thank you so much for being with us. Louisa, what's going on with you? What do we have to look forward to? And I think we have something exciting coming February the 2nd. Do you want to talk about that now, or is it too early?
We can talk about it now that you can put me on blast. Well, I will talk about me first, and then I will talk about we. But as I mentioned earlier, mindyourblackbusiness.com is now back online. As I said, we're still working on it, so we are not at the final stages. But if anybody wants to go in and start peeking at some of the previous content, please do. I invite anyone who is interested in being a part of it, whether they are a business that wants to be, whether you are a professional and you're passionate and eloquent about what you do. We're always looking for content marketing writers, and that is, if you want to write for mindyourblackbusiness.com and share your expertise, we will gladly accept it. And from that, we will blast and post and advertise our hearts out for you. So if anybody's interested in that, please do contact me. At any rate, whatever you're interested in, if you would like to get more information about mindyourblackbusiness.com, you can contact us at info@mindyourblackbusiness.com, and it'll come directly to me, and I will get back to you. And anything that you're interested in doing, we can discuss that. Now on to our upcoming news or upcoming great things, Sean.
For anybody who is on Twitter, if you are into life, relationship, all that good stuff, coaching, and most definitely if you're on Twitter, you probably know this name, and it is Cheyenne Bostock. Cheyenne, he is probably one of the biggest names up and coming in life and relationship coaching. He rates there with Paul Carrick Brunson and a lot of the other ones. He has just recently released a book, and it is called Break Every Chain, and it is for our Black men as well as for us Black women to read and really embrace. We are honored that Cheyenne has said that he will be on the show, and that is going to be a special show that we're having because it's going to be on Monday, February 2nd. So we will be welcoming Cheyenne on Monday, February 2nd at the same time, 7 p.m. Central, and he will be on the show to discuss his book, discuss his profession and life as a life and relationship coach, and we will be really talking about Black men in the community and how it's important for our Black men to take on their roles and to make an impact in the community so that we have strong Black families and strong Black communities and strong Black businesses. So Cheyenne will be on Monday, February 2nd at 7 p.m. Central to discuss all of that with us. If you haven't already read his book or gotten his book, I encourage you to get out and read it and check him out. He is on, like I said, Twitter, @ShyB, and that's C-H-E-Y-B. He's also on YouTube and everywhere else online. And I warn you, he is not for the faint of heart because he will tell it like it is. And not everybody likes the way he tells it that like it is. So if he is, he does not bite his tongue. And I have been insulted on many instances, but he has there are and because I'm thinking, how did he have the nerve to say that? But he shoots straight from the hip, insulting. He means business. So please put it on your calendars, Monday, February 2nd, with Cheyenne Bostock.
Absolutely, and we'll continue to promote it here because we want to make sure, once again, that you only get the best of what we have to offer. And so I am so looking forward to it. I'm going to have to do my research and dig a little bit deeper and find out about him because I'm excited. I'm excited about what he has to bring and what he has to say. And he sounds a little bit like myself. You know, hey, I shoot from the some people say I shoot from the lip, but I shoot from the hip as well. So I'm definitely looking forward to hearing what he has to say. And I, once again, I am so excited. I look forward to Tuesdays, every Tuesday I get a chance to hang out with you and the fantastic guests that we have. I'm in the lab. I'm behind the scenes working. Don't forgive me. I'm still here doing business, working things out. And I'll tell you what, just some things are coming together that I'm, once again, not a person of hyperbole or height. That's not what I do. It's not what I'm about. But I'm some things are just in the wings that are really, really going to be exciting. And I'm excited to be working on them. So with that being said, we have come to the end of our show. Come and join us next week as we talk about goal-setting strategies for business success. It's January. You probably already, I bet some of you have probably already broken your New Year's resolutions. But that's okay. Wait, there's more, because we're going to help you with some goal-setting strategies for your business success that's going to take you through the rest of your year, and it's going to make 2015 your best year. So if you come back next week, follow us, let us give you a game plan that you're going to be able to run with, and 2015 is absolutely going to be fantastic for you. Well, thank you, Carmen. Louisa, I love you both. I appreciate you. I wish I'd say I'll be seeing you on Facebook. I won't be seeing you there anytime soon, but you y'all have fun for me. And I look forward to getting back on there.
Get back.
I know you will. I absolutely have no doubt that I've left Facebook in wonderful hands. I'm sure it's doing quite fine without me. But thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. And remember, come back next Tuesday as we talk about goal setting for your business success. And remember, always as we say on this show, be black, buy black, and build black. Have a wonderful evening.